I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live. It's only just a matter of welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, do you ever wonder if maybe you've settled for less than what God has for you? Well, my guest today wondered the same thing, and she's a seasoned Christian, published author, and speaker, but she wrestled with that question, and she was surprised to realize that she says in the book that she'd been treating the Holy Spirit as an optional member of the Trinity, and as a result, missing out on living in the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is an important conversation today, because I think many do this, and maybe not even realizing it. You love Jesus, you love His Word, but because there's so much controversy around the Holy Spirit, oftentimes He's treated like kind of an optional, movable member of the Trinity. I always wonder how he must feel about that, you know? Jeannie Cunyon joins me today to talk about her new book, Don't Miss Out, Daring to Believe Life is Better with the Holy Spirit. Life is indeed better with the Holy Spirit. We've got several copies to give away. You can text the word book if you want a book on the Holy Spirit. Get in the drawing. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. A couple quick announcements. You've been hearing about it. You're going to hear about it just a little bit more. Our Writers Conference is coming up, and it's epic. We're bringing in some of the best editors, agents, and authors to help you take your next steps forward in getting published. Northwestern Christian Writers Conference is coming up July 16th, 17th. I will be there. I want to meet you. Don't let fear stand in the way. If you have a dream of getting published, you got to join us. There's still time to get a ticket to be with us in person. More on the web at northwesternchristianwritersconference.com. Also, just a little insider information. There's nothing on the web about this just yet. Just mark your calendars for Thursday night, July 29th, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. I'm doing a live stream event. This time I'll talk with Mark Batterson about his book, Win the Day. The theme of that night is Dream Big, Start Small. Looking forward to that conversation. Again, nothing on the web just yet, but there will be in the near future. But so just for now, mark your calendars, July 29th, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Jeannie Cunyon is an author who is well known for writing stories that make much, I love this, of the wild love of Jesus because of how her life has been rescued by it. She also is a beloved Bible teacher, sought-after speaker who's been featured on major media outlets. She holds a master's in social work and worked as a counselor and a trainer in the adoption field before writing. She is a wife to Mike and mama to five boys that she absolutely loves, and we're grateful to have her on the show today. Jeannie, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Looking forward to the conversation, Jeannie, and we love to start every day talking scripture. So what do you got? What's the Lord been saying to you these days?
Oh, I have sensed the very clear message to slow down and take a deep breath. There's a time and a season for everything, and it has definitely been a full season, a kind of all cylinders season, and I really feel that urging to just slow down and cease striving, and to really just be present with the Lord this summer, to let Him fill me again. I feel that empty cup, mm-hmm. and I'm eager to be filled.
Well, Lord, I want to just pray, lift up my dear sister Jeannie to you, and I pray, God, that you'd surround her with your mercies and your grace, and you give her all kinds of grace, space to breathe in, to exhale, to rest. But thank you for the promise, Lord, that you lead us beside still waters, and you restore mm-hmm. our soul. And I pray you'd do that, and life is ebb and flow, input, output, and I just pray for all kinds of input, God, fresh revelation, a deep rest, great fellowship, and fun with the family. We just lift her up, and every person listening today who feels that same way, may it be so. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, in your bio, you talk about being rescued by God's love. Can you tell us a little backstory of just what your rescue story consists of?
Yeah, my rescue story really consists of being a Christian who spent most of my walk with Jesus striving, really not understanding the magnitude and the depth of His grace, and really believing that it was my job to keep God happy with me, that it was my obedience that would keep Him delighted in me, and not recognizing that beautiful rest that we're welcomed into, that Because of what Jesus did for us, I am covered in the righteousness and in the perfection of Christ. On my best day and on my worst day, he loves me because he loves me, not because I got it all right, or doesn't love me because I got it all wrong, but just learning how to be safe and at peace in knowing that when Jesus died on the cross and he said, "It is finished," it means that he did for me what I could never do for myself. But I spent so much of my life acting like his last three words on the cross were, "Make me proud." And I think that that shift in mindset that he loves me and delights in me, and Jesus has covered God's pleasure in me, it frees us. It rescues us from that striving, earning mentality. It frees us to love Jesus and follow Jesus because we know we are secure in God's love. So it's that we live from his love instead of for his love. And that's what I've been rescued from. Now I can live from his love, and it's a radically different way to live the Christian life.
Was there a particular moment in your story that, that became real for you? How did that happen?
It did. It was many years ago. It's a very distinct moment for me, actually. I was, at the time, a mom to three boys under five, and really recognizing that motherhood not only enlarges our hearts, but it also exposes all of our weaknesses. I was really feeling that exposure and not only worried that I was letting my kids down, but worried that I was disappointing God because I wasn't the kind of, you know, perfect mom I was striving to be. And so instead of resting in that great knowledge that Jesus is their perfect parent and I get to partner with him in the work he wants to do in their lives, I was striving to kind of play his role in their lives. And so it was a very distinct moment. I was actually in the middle of a Beth Moore Bible study and reading a verse I'd read many times in my life. But in that moment, the Holy Spirit highlighted it for me. And it was, you know, when I am weak, he is strong. His grace is made perfect in my weakness. And that became really very real to me. And I began to really dive into and try to better understand what is his grace. And it was a freedom moment for me that really set me on a new path of discovering how his strength and his grace is made perfect in our need for him. And it's only when we know our weakness and we know our need and we're willing to get honest about it that we can really begin to experience and enjoy the way his power is perfected when we kind of give him the reins and say, "Lord, take control."
You know, God's so good about healing us in layers, maturing us in layers. He knows what we need when we need it, and he knows when we're ready for a revelatory word that will change the trajectory of our lives. He's so good about that. And how about just the context of the Holy Spirit conversation? How and when did you come upon that kind of wrestling? And tell us what happened.
Yeah, I said in the book, I never imagined writing a book about the Holy Spirit. If you had asked me to name the next 20 topics I would write about, I never would have mentioned the Holy Spirit. I was raised as a preacher's kid. I've been following Jesus since I was 8 years old. And several years ago, and I never would have said that I was settling for less than all of God or that I was missing out on anything in my faith. But several years ago, I started praying a very simple prayer, which was just, "Lord, I want all of you. I want all of you. I don't want to miss out on anything that you have to give me, anything that you want me to do. I don't want to miss out on you. I just want all of you." And it wasn't long after that that the only way I know to describe it, Susie, is I just became curious about the Holy Spirit. I just became curious. I had never been curious about him before, but I began to see his name in scripture. I began to really sense his presence in my life. And I quickly realized that's how the Lord was answering my prayer. When I said, "Lord, I want all of you, God, I want all of you," he began to reintroduce me to the Holy Spirit because I thought I knew who the Holy Spirit was, but I had put the Holy Spirit in a box. And it wasn't until I began to pray that prayer that the Lord made me curious and he began to reintroduce me to who the Holy Spirit is and what his role is in our lives. And I realized I'd been missing out as somebody who'd been following Jesus for, at that point, about 36 years, raised in the church, a writer of Bible studies, And yet I had been missing out on enjoying the presence of the Holy Spirit and really fully understanding his vast role in our lives. And you alluded to it earlier. I think that's what happens for a lot of us. I do think some people avoid him on purpose because of all of the stigmas and the misconceptions and the abuse. And so there is this assumption that the Holy Spirit is only for the extremes. He is either for the super spiritual crowd or he's for the super strange crowd, right? And so, and if we wouldn't put ourselves in one of those extreme categories, we go, well, then what use is he in my life? But then I think there's the rest of us that we just don't know all that he's intended to do. And that's what I discovered. And so as I began personally to discover all I had missed out on by devouring scripture, just really searching scripture for what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit, and then looking at, his role in scripture, and discovering that I had been missing out. And as I began to got to know him and enjoy him, it really propelled me to write this book, because I started having conversations with other Christians, women I do life closely with, women who follow Jesus and love Jesus, but they felt similar. They said, I hesitate when it comes to the Holy Spirit because I don't really know that much about him. I haven't been taught about him. I don't know how to identify his power in my life. I know I'm supposed to live in the power of the Holy Spirit, but I don't know actually how to do that. And so as I discovered how many people were like me, feeling like they had been missing out on the third person of the Trinity, it propelled me to write this book, because the more I got to know him, the more beautiful he became and the more irresistible he became, and really discovering how essential he is in our lives. And I had to write about that. I couldn't not write about something that was so radically changing my life.
Beautiful. We're going to pause here. When we come back, we're going to talk about what Scripture says about some of the roles that the Holy Spirit has in our lives. But, hearing from you, getting a text from you is sort of like love language for me. So I want to hear from you if you're willing to engage in the conversation. In what way does the Holy Spirit are you most engaged with the Holy Spirit? He impresses upon your heart when you're reading his word, when he nudges you to respond to him, when he cautions you if you're about to take a wrong step or a wrong turn. Well, how do you relate to the Holy Spirit in your life? Where's that kind of area where you just know his presence in your life and you kind of got that relationship? I'd love to know. Text me 877-933-2484. And the title of Jeannie Cunyon's book is Don't Miss Out, Daring to Believe Life is Better with the Holy Spirit. Got a handful of copies to give away. Text the word book if you want in on the drawing. 877-933-2484. We'll also talk in a minute about what it means to grieve the Holy Spirit and quench the Holy Spirit. What does that look like? And how do we not do that? We'll be back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. We're talking to Jeannie Cunyon today about her book, Don't Miss Out, Daring to Believe Life is Better with the Holy Spirit. We've got several copies to give away. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. And Jeannie writes this: what will make a dramatic difference in how you live is knowing that God Almighty dwells inside you by his Spirit, and then believing that everything that is his is yours. His power, his wisdom, his strength, his joy, his peace and comfort, his love. God manifests all himself in his people through his Spirit. We'll unpack that a bit more, but I asked you to text me and tell me, what's the Holy Spirit's role in your life? How do you most relate to the Holy Spirit? Karen says, well, he comforts and he calms me. And Steve says, I feel the Holy Spirit when I'm about to do something I know is wrong and when I'm leading a Bible study. Fantastic, Steve. Thank you so much for that. But talk about just what Scripture says, what you learned in your studies, Jeannie, about the Holy Spirit's role in our life, or many roles in our life.
Yeah, I love to think about what Jesus said in the Gospel of John. Those verses or chapters 14 through 16, where Jesus is preparing his disciples for his ascension, and he's teaching them on the role of the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that stood out to me the most, and really actually shocked me, Suzy, is how I had missed this for so long. What Jesus says to them, it is for your benefit that I return to the Father so that the Holy Spirit will come. And in other translations, it reads, it is to your advantage. It's for your benefit, Jesus says, that I return to the Father so that the Holy Spirit will come. And Scripture says that the disciples were filled with sorrow in that moment because they didn't understand how anything in all the world could be better than Jesus with his physical presence next to them. And I relate to that, and I think a lot of Christians do relate to that. We say, Jesus, we don't want just your Spirit. We want you. And they were filled with sorrow because they didn't understand, and we don't understand that what Jesus was preparing them for was the reality, this beautiful reality, that they would no longer be dependent on Jesus's physical presence. But now his Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, would take up residence inside of them. So they would never be without what they need to live the Christian life, to follow Jesus, and to spread the gospel. And I just think that's really incredible. If we'll sit with that and think about that, that God's personal presence takes up residence inside of us when we put our trust in Jesus, so that we are never, Second Peter writes, so that we are never without what we need to live a godly life. And so the Holy Spirit's role is so vast and so essential. And yet, as you said earlier, we really treat him as the inferior member of the Trinity, maybe as the optional member of the Trinity. We say, well, if I have Jesus, why do I need the Holy Spirit? And yet Jesus himself said, it is better because you will have the power of Christ inside of you to not only live in pursuit of me, but to spread the gospel and to point other people to me.
You know, just think about what's missing because we dismiss the Holy Spirit. What's missing on the earth, the presence, the sense of presence and power. Because, yeah. You know, I've heard people, some people say that they look at the Trinity more as Father, Son, and the Word of God. Like, I'm not comfortable mm-hmm. with the Holy Spirit. And I think the Holy Spirit has feelings. God does. Jesus has feelings. What must that feel like to be the third member of the Trinity and to be so constantly misjudged, misunderstood, dismissed because of a few crazy people? It's just heartbreaking to me because I think of, when you think of the comfort and the power of the Holy Spirit, the direction, the fruit of the Spirit, to me, it's moving our life into technicolor, don't you think?
Yeah, and I think he grieves because he knows all he's intended to do in us and through yeah. us and for us, and he wants to get to work on our behalf, right? I mean, mm-hmm. there is no rivalry in the Trinity. They are, it's that great mystery, right? They are triune God. They are inseparable, and they work inseparably, and yet there is God the Father with his distinct role, God the Son with his distinct role, and then God the Holy Spirit with his very distinct purpose in our life. And as you said, he is the person of the Holy Spirit. So he is not only God the Holy Spirit, but he is a divine person with a dynamic, amazing personality, right? He has a mind. He has a will. He has emotions. And we get to live in close relationship and intimacy with the Spirit of God. And yet so many of us neglect that. And it's because we have fear or because we've seen abuse or we've been told, like you said, that it's really God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Bible. And yet the Holy Spirit is the one who authored the Holy Bible. So mm-hmm. if we love the Bible, we can thank the Holy Spirit because he authored it. And then when we go to Scripture, like the gentleman who texted in said he leads me when I lead a Bible study. Well, of course he does, because he's the best Bible teacher out there, right? He wrote Scripture. And so he loves to illuminate it for us. He loves to bring it to light for us. And so there's all these things. He prays for us. He champions us. He leads us in truth. He communicates with us. He nudges us. He convicts us. I mean, one of the things that happened for me as I began to understand the vast role of the Holy Spirit is I just began to whisper thank you to him throughout my day, becoming more and more aware of his presence and his guidance and his friendship. Because if you just even think about anybody who's listening, if you have put your trust in Jesus Christ, if you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you can thank the Holy Spirit. Because he is the one who opens the eyes of our hearts to the love of Jesus. He's the one who makes Jesus beautiful to us. And so he's the one who helps us walk in obedience to Jesus. He's the one who gives us the power. So I think as we get to know him for who he really is and then discover all that he does, I think it just breeds this gratitude in us, Susie. It's this gratitude that God would take up residence inside of us and then give us everything we need, that he hasn't left us alone to try and grow in the likeness of his son and to spread the gospel, but that he has actually put his spirit in us to empower us to do all that he's called us to do.
Amen. You know, and I wonder if some who maybe point to excesses as to why they won't have the conversation or even invite the Holy Spirit to invade their lives, maybe a deeper truth might be, I don't want to lose control. Like, we have the illusion of control. And you know, it's because when Jesus came to town, things did get kind of turned upside down. But I feel like when the Holy Spirit is moving, it is so beautiful and powerful. And I'm coming up on the break here, but I'd love examples from your own life too. But I remember before Stephen Curtis Chapman got really big, I loved his music from the beginning. My hubby and I traveled to Wisconsin to this high school gym. He was just, and he's such a beautiful guitar player. And we were in a high school gym and he had the mullet, you know, I mean, this is a long time ago. And it was, but it was so anointed. He just did, his strength is perfect and all these guitar licks. And it was just this beautiful. And as he's lingering with the guitar and just sort of playing softly, and you could feel, you could touch the sense of God's presence. And then the MC got up there like a clanging cymbal. Now we're going to take an offer. Like, he was so out of touch. And it was such a jarring pivot that I even saw the look on Stephen's face going, oh, ouch, you know. And I've seen that happen as a conference speaker at times, where there's times where the conference host is so sensitive to what's going on that they come up and go, you know what? We're gonna change the schedule. We're just gonna linger here for a minute. You know, they have a sensitivity, and then there's others who are just completely out of touch. And maybe on the other side, we can talk more about what that looks like. You know, what does it mean to grieve and quench the Holy Spirit? What does it mean to stay sensitive enough that you move with the Holy Spirit, like the wind and the breath of God? So, Jeannie, I would love for you to talk about that on the other side. And we've also got a question in from Madison, and I'll get as much of this out, and you can think about it during our short break here. She said, I heard you mention you'll be talking about quenching the Holy Spirit. I think a follow-up question I'd have would be this. What does the Bible say about what to do if you've quenched the Holy Spirit? What do you do after that? And how do you tell the difference between a feeling, a gut instinct, and the Holy Spirit? Are they the same? There are times when I know something's wrong, but it's hard for me to identify if that the Holy Spirit. How do you develop the confidence and relationship with God to decisively determine it's from him, or is this just my instinct? So we'll unpack that one as well. Talking to Jeannie Cunyon today. Her book is Don't Miss Out, Daring to Believe Life is Better with the Holy Spirit. And I've wondered, well, how has your relationship been with the Holy Spirit? How has he moved in your life? This dear listener says, he's been a wonderful counselor to me through my recent separation and divorce. He's been a comforter on days when the pain of this new life as a single mom is so great. He's given me incredible wisdom and insight. I've gone back to school to get my biblical counseling certificate. You are a survivor. God bless you, dear one. God is with us, and the Holy Spirit is your great comforter. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning into Susie Larson Live. Grateful to have you listening today, talking to Jeannie Cunyon about her new book, Don't Miss Out, Daring to Believe Life is Better with the Holy Spirit. And we so often treat the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, like a movable, optional member. Like, either you're into the Holy Spirit or you're not. Maybe you're, as she said, you're either super strange or super spiritual. But the third person of the Holy Spirit is so important in our life. And we've got several copies to give away, by the way. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. And I'd love to know just your relationship with the Holy Spirit. How does the Holy Spirit impact you? Is it that nudge before you speak, before you go somewhere, highlighting scripture? I would love to know. And Jeannie, this dear listener writes in and says, I heard you mention you'll be talking about quenching the Holy Spirit. I think a follow-up question I might have would be, what does the Bible say about what to do if you have quenched the Holy Spirit? What do you do after that? And then I'll just kind of do a follow-up and you can tackle whatever part of this you want. And she says, how do you tell the difference between a feeling and a gut instinct in the Holy Spirit? Are they the same? There are times I know something's wrong, but it's hard for me to identify if it's the Holy Spirit. How do you develop confidence in the relationship with God to decisively determine it's Him or is it just my instinct? What do you say?
I say so many good questions.
Yeah, right.
There were so many good ones. I would start with the grieving and the quenching because these are very real things that we need to think about and talk about. And I think what also goes with that conversation is that though we can grieve the Holy Spirit and though we can quench the Holy Spirit, we can never lose the Holy Spirit. And I think that's really important that He is God's personal, permanent presence. So we need to know what grieves Him and we need to know what quenches Him. But as we do, we also need to rejoice that we're never at risk of losing Him. He'll never walk out on us. He'll never give up on us. He'll never stop working in us. And I think that's a beautiful miracle. But when I think about quenching the Holy Spirit, 1 Thessalonians 5:19, do not quench the Spirit, not using the gifts that God has given you for the glory of the Father and the good, common good. We quench the Holy Spirit. But then in 2 Timothy, he writes, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. So rather than quenching the Holy Spirit and not using the unique gifts He's given you for the glory of the Father, we're told to actually fan the flame, to pay attention to the fire, the holy fire that's inside of us. And I think it goes back to what you were talking about earlier, the conference leader, right? When we're fanning the flame, when we're like, you know, when we start a fire in our own home, you think about that, right? On a cold night, we start a fire, we put the logs in, we put the paper in, we start a fire. But if we start that fire and we walk away from it, what happens? It fans out. But if we stay and we pay attention to it and we lean into it, the flame gets greater. And it's that flame, it's that holy fire inside of us that's going to draw others to Jesus. They're going to see that differentiating factor of that holy fire, the Holy Spirit working in us. And I think the same goes for grieving the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 4:30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And when I read that, my first question was, well, how do I grieve Him? I don't want to grieve Him. I want to make sure that my life isn't grieving the Holy Spirit. And I'm so grateful that in the very next verse, He actually answers that question. Paul writes, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you. And so He's telling us these are the things that grieve the Spirit of God. When we live with bitterness, when we live in anger, when we participate in slander. And so I can tell you for me personally, that was a big revelation for me in my marriage and as a wife, because I'll confess that I can be good at holding on to bitterness. And one of the first works of the Holy Spirit in me was really to reveal that to me and to say, Jeannie, when you hold on to bitterness, when you don't go seek forgiveness, when you don't generously extend forgiveness, you grieve me because you're holding on to bitterness against your spouse when what you're supposed to do is to be kind to one another, tenderhearted and forgiving. And so what do we do to not quench and not grieve the Holy Spirit? To the listeners, the question is, Paul writes, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. So it's living in that posture of forgiveness and in the same way that God forgave us in Jesus Christ.
Mm, love that. I don't know if you heard of Dick Foth, but he's Mark Batterson's mentor, and he's a mentor to many notable politicians, just a seasoned old saint. Interviewed him years ago, and he's got this winsome joy. And he was talking about, I don't remember, just meeting somebody who was not a believer, but just who was spending time with them. And he says, I tell you what, you walk a mile with me, you get the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost thrown in because that's who I'm walking with. Yeah, it's like true north, you walk with me, you walk with them. And I just love that. And I feel like that's such a good picture, going back to Madison's question about how do I know if it's my gut instinct or if it's the Spirit. If you're filled with the Spirit of God, you know, we don't have any goodness apart from Him. So if there's a conviction towards something that's right and good, we can give the credit to God and trust the Holy Spirit. You know, if He's nudging us to give money away to the poor, we can know that came from God. You know, if He's nudging us to intercede or to love and to forgive, that's the Holy Spirit in us. And, you know, I just think we err on the side of giving Him credit, wouldn't you say? for every good thing. Yeah.
Very good. And I think too, I think a lot of people wrestle with that question. How do I know if it's the Holy Spirit? And I love what you said. It's if it aligns with the Word of God, that's a good litmus test, right? Is what I'm sensing, is what I'm feeling, is this in alignment with the Word of God? Because the Holy Spirit's never going to speak anything or lead me in anything that is not in alignment with God's word, with God's perfect will for my life. And so also sometimes people will say, well, I think I'm hearing from the Holy Spirit. How do I know if it's him? And I think another good question to ask ourselves is, well, is that a voice of conviction or is that a voice of condemnation? Mm-hmm. Because the Holy Spirit will speak in conviction. It's his conviction is a gift of love, right? We sometimes conviction feels like a shameful word, but the truth is conviction is love. It's the work of the Holy Spirit to turn us away from our sin and to turn us toward our Savior. That's love. But the voice of condemnation, that's the enemy. He will speak to us with a condemning voice, with a shaming voice. And so we can hold that up and go, okay, does this sound like the advocate, right? Jesus called the Holy Spirit our advocate. So is this the advocate speaking because it's conviction, or is this the accuser speaking because it's condemnation? And that's also really helpful for me in my life to kind of hold up what I think I'm hearing or sensing, especially when it comes to, you know, doing what's right or doing what's wrong, to know, is this the accuser or the advocate? And that can pretty quickly help us figure out if it's coming from the Holy Spirit or it's not.
Amen. You know, and I think too, because we love comfort, I think there's even an idol of respectability in the body of Christ, at least in the Western church, where we want to look good. We don't want to look out of control. But if we're really willing to see what God might want to do, I feel like we've got to open up our hands, our heart, and to say, have your way. Use me in ways that are disproportionate to who I am. And I'm thinking of two very specific stories. One is this man is gone now. He's a speaker. But he was up on stage, sitting, bowing his head, and the MC was reading his long bio, and he was speaking to a huge group of young people. That was his ministry. And the Holy Spirit whispered to him, I want you to reach over and hug the empty chair. And he's in front of, you know, a huge crowd. And the guy's almost done reading his bio. And he's like, no. And the Holy Spirit said again, I want you to hug the empty chair. And he feared God enough to go, I want God's blessing on what I'm about to say. So he reached over and wrapped his arms around this empty chair. And then the Holy Spirit said, stay there till I release you. Which then I just think God was being funny because the man was done reading his bio, and so he had to sit there with his arms around this chair. Well, long story short, he finished. You know, God released him. He got up and thought, I'm an idiot. That was what was that? And he did his message. And at the end, there was a long line of people waiting to talk to him. And this was, you know, 40 years ago, I want to say. So this kid was very goth, so he very much stood out, very, you know, dark on every level. But he was several people back. When he got up to him, he said to the speaker, I want you to know I trusted Jesus before you ever said a word. And he said, what do you mean? And he said, well, I have a dad who beat us and then he left us. And when they were introducing you, I was thinking I would believe God if I had a father like that, but my father beat us and then left us. But then I thought to myself, I would believe in God if I could just be sitting up there next to him and he would just reach over and put his arms around me. And then you hug the empty chair. And, you know, and so this was like this unbelievable moment where he threw down respectability and just did what God wanted. And I remember another one real quick, I'll just say, but Beth Moore told the story many years ago, but she was in an airport and felt led by the Lord. Do you remember this one? To go brush this man's hair?
I remember this one. Please tell it. It's so good. Yes.
And she was like, no, really. And God was like, go over and brush that. And he looked very, you know, he had loose clothing on. He looked kind of like a mess, and his hair was a mess. Really? You want me to go brush a man's hair in an airport? So, sir, can I brush your hair? And he's hard of hearing. What? Sir, can I brush your hair? I mean, try to imagine that. And, Jeannie, you can jump in, however. But anyway, she ends up brushing his hair to find out he'd been sick, separated from his wife. All the treatments made him lose all his weight, so his clothes were hanging on him, and he wanted to look nice for his wife. And he was thinking, if only someone could brush his hair. I mean, I say all that to say we have got to somehow get over ourselves if we really do want to enter in and be led by the Spirit in ways that are not normal for us, you know?
Susie, I love that so much. I love both of those stories, and I think you're so right. There has to be a willingness to look silly right? To what might look silly to somebody else, to really enter into that intimacy. Because what you're describing, that comes from having an intimate relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, right? That you know their voice, that you could trust their leading, because you can't follow somebody you don't trust, right? It's scary to heed the Holy Spirit's voice if you haven't learned to trust him. And the only way to trust him is to get to know him, to walk in step with him, to learn his voice, the voice of the Father. And I can think of, you know, several instances in my own life that aren't quite that dramatic, but even one example I give in the book, where I was in the parking lot of my gym and I was getting into my car, and one of the girls who's in the class that I don't know very well was getting into her car, and my new book had come up, and she said, "By the way, what's your new book about?" And I knew that her response was going to be awkward, because I knew enough about her. And I joked that I could have named the book How to Lose Friends and Not Make New Ones, because of everything you just said, right? People don't know how to respond. They think, oh gosh, a girl who's writing about the Holy Spirit, what must she be like? And so I, the Lord said, you tell her, I could have said, it's about God, or it's a faith book, right? And I said, well, it's actually about the Holy Spirit and how life is better with him. And she was like, huh, okay. And then I heard him say, tell her I love her. And I'm like, but oh, I'm sitting there going, but Lord, I like having friends. You know, like, I go to the gym with this girl. And I said, I get the sense that he just wants you to know, wherever you are, he just wants you to know that he loves you. And tears immediately welled in her eyes. Welled up. And she said, you think so? And I'm getting emotional thinking about it. And I said, friend, I know so. He wants you to know he loves you. And that was kind of it. And she just kind of nodded, because there were tears in her eyes. And I said, I'll see you tomorrow. And that was it. And she got in her car, and I got in her car. But the Lord planted a seed. And if I had not obeyed, if I had let fear of it looking silly, if I had let, you know, the Lord could have used somebody else in her life in a profound way. But I would have missed out on being a conduit of his love if I had not heeded that conviction to kind of follow what he was telling me to say, right? So really, we're the ones that miss out if we don't, if we're so worried about how we're going to look or how it might be received. If we honor and revere the Lord enough to say, you know, I don't want to miss out on experiencing what it's like to be the conduit of God's love and presence in the world, then that's the best stuff there is, right? There's nothing better than that.
Amen. You know, I pray for my guests every day before we get on the air. And recently I was praying for one of my guests, and the Lord prompted me to say to him, I just said, I just get the sense that the Lord wants you to create some space in your life so he can surprise you. And he was just jarred. And he said later, God had been telling him and his wife to create space, and he was sort of feeling like, I really ought to do that. But the idea that it's not this condemnation, there you go again, you know, overcommitting yourself. It wasn't that. It was, I really love it if you create some space so I can surprise you. You know what I mean? God is so sweet and so good. And I just think we could be joy dispensers for each other if we could walk in step with the Holy Spirit and be willing to take the kind of risk that you took. And Jeannie, I'll be your friend. You be as weird as you want. I'll be your friend. I'm just saying. You're welcome. We got to pause here. When we come back, we're going to talk more about what it means to walk in step with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing that Jesus gave us, you know, when he left, the Holy Spirit entered us as we trusted him for salvation. We have the same power that rose Jesus from the grave, living in us, alive in us. How must we live now that we know this? Jeannie, when we come back, you've got a number of really great chapter titles that really speak to the power of the Holy Spirit and his role in our life. He communicates with us and through us. He makes God's love real to us. He keeps filling us. We're going to unpack some of those when we come back. We've got a few copies of Jeannie's book to give away. It's titled again, Don't Miss Out, Daring to Believe Life is Better with the Holy Spirit. We'll be back in a minute. Hope you're having a fantastic day. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Susie Larson talking to Jeannie Cunyon today. Her book, Don't Miss Out, Daring to Believe Life is Better with the Holy Spirit. And it indeed is. And one of the aspects of the Holy Spirit that you highlight in the book is that we can't control him. And, you know, I'm thinking of kind of two scenarios. You run into some that claim to speak for him 24/7, like, you know what I'm saying, where, and they may preface everything with the Lord told me, and I'm not saying that that's not the case. I'm just saying sometimes you see that, and other times I meet people who are immersed in the Holy Spirit without saying so, like because of joy and peace and quiet wisdom. Do you know what I'm saying? And I wonder at times, because, and maybe that's the misuse of wanting to have the corner on the Holy Spirit, if there's times where some may be grabbing hold. Only God knows the heart, but I think that's what makes people cautious. But maybe speak to the idea you can't control him.
Yeah, and aren't we grateful that we can't control him?
Yeah.
How could we worship a God we could control? You know, I think one of the things, you know, about this idea of living in the power of the Holy Spirit can feel very inaccessible to people. What does that actually mean? What does that look like? And one of the things that I've thought about in my own life is what would it look like for him to become larger in my life? Like, I just want him to invade every room in my heart. I want my heart to be a welcoming home for the Holy Spirit. And then as he does that, as I get to know him, I'm no longer afraid of God's authority, God's sovereignty, God's control over my life, because I know him and I trust him and I get to experience his goodness in my life. But I think that fear of control, you know, not wanting to surrender control, comes from fear that who he says he is and what he was sent to do might not be true. And yet, if we can trust God, because we have, a lot of us don't have trouble trusting God the Father and trusting God the Son, but we have trouble trusting God the Holy Spirit. And yet, they are one. They share the same essence. They have distinct functions, but they are one. And so I think it's a lot about learning to trust who the Holy Spirit is and why Jesus said it's better that we have his Spirit inside of us than his physical presence with us, because the Holy Spirit will blow where he will, right? He blows where he will. That's what Scripture says. He's going to do what he's going to do. But if we want to experience his joy and his hope and his presence, we have to cooperate. We have to cooperate with what he wants to do in our lives. And another way to say that is we have to be willing to yield. We have to yield to the authority of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But when we remember that everything he does is for our good and for God's glory, I think it becomes a little less difficult to yield to his guidance, his authority in our lives. When we trust that it really is for our good and for God's glory, even though it can still be hard, doesn't mean we're free from suffering or hardship. It could still be very hard. But we know that he goes with us. We know that he is for us. And we know that he works things out for our good and for the glory of our Father.
Mm. You know, Javi and I, when we're mentoring young people, we often tell them wisdom's path is peace. You know, the peace of God, let the peace of God rule and reign. Seek peace and pursue it. That's just, you know, he's the Prince of Peace. And the presence of peace is so important. And I know from my own life, I'll be sitting with God. I've got worship music on, got the Bible open, my journal, and I'm having this sacred, beautiful time, and get up from that time. And 5 minutes later, fear enters in about something, worry about something, my gut twists in a knot, and the peace is gone. You know, it's like a hose that you put a crimp in, you know, and I was thinking, you know, we can be outright, you know, commit outright acts of disobedience, be in full rebellion, have bitterness, and those things quench the Spirit. But we also can be our own worst critic and really also just almost cut off the float so we can't discern anymore. It's like we have one foot on the gas and one foot on the brake at the same time. And maybe say a word about just of being in agreement with who we are in Christ. I feel like to the degree that we are in agreement with who God says we are is the degree that we will hear with clarity what the Holy Spirit has to say to us.
Yeah. Yeah, and I love your analogy with the kink in the hose. I heard somebody say something similar where the output, the Holy Spirit, the filling but when there's a kink in that hose, it really kind of disrupts the work. It disrupts the ability for him to work. And so that very much resonates. And also what you said about that I feel that same thing where I can just feel the presence of the Lord. I'm worshiping in the car and he's with me and I'm feeling his presence. And then something happens and I'm like, whoa, what just happened? Right? Like, I just want to stay in that space of knowing his presence and feeling his presence. And yet we live in a fallen world, right? Where we're going to constantly feel that tension, right? I mean, I think about, I think it's Galatians 5 where Paul writes, let the Holy Spirit guide your life, and then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves, because mm-hmm. the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And then he goes on to talk about it. This is in the NLT translation, but he says these two forces are constantly fighting each other. And so I think about that verse when you talk about that. That's that constant force of, like, I want to stay in step with the Spirit. I want to be led by the Spirit. But I know that there is also this other force, my sinful nature, that is always battling with the Spirit. And so the solution is to, again, go back. Holy Spirit, guide my life. Keep me in step. Fill me with your presence. I feel like I need to stay at the well. You know what yeah. I mean? Like, I don't want to leave the well, because those forces are constantly fighting each other. And yet we have been given the Spirit. Who gives us life and peace is what Scripture says, and we can continually go back to that. And what an extraordinary gift for us as Christians to know that we can keep going back to having life and peace, even though those forces are constantly battling each other.
You know, I love how the Holy Spirit speaks to us so individually. Like, you may be in a season of rest, so he's saying, come away. And I might be in a season of run where he's like, rise up, raise your shield, let's go. You know, I love that he deals with us so uniquely based on where we're at. But also there is a corporate message often. You know, you look in the book of Revelation, this is what the Spirit says to the church, Smyrna or Ephesus. What would your sense be about, you know, the church in the West? What do you sense that the Holy Spirit may be saying to us in this hour?
I think we've made him small.
Yeah, I agree.
And that grieves me. I got a text message or a direct message on Instagram just today from a woman who said, our small group is doing your Don't Miss Out book as a Bible study this summer. And every single one of us have said, why have we never heard this before? Why aren't we being taught about who he is and what he does? And I think part of the problem is that we've made him small. And that grieves him, because he is so much, you know, Ephesians 3, 16 through 21, right? He can do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine through his power that is at work within us. And that power is the Holy Spirit. And I think I don't know if we've forgotten or we struggle to believe. And you mentioned this earlier, Susie, as you were going to break, that I think what's so incredible is that the same Holy Spirit who empowered Jesus Christ, right, who raised him from the dead, who descended on him in the Jordan River, that is the same Holy Spirit who came at Pentecost and filled the disciples and radically transformed them from terrified, fearful, confused men into men who were preaching the gospel with boldness and conviction and clarity. That is the same Holy Spirit that lives in you and lives in me and lives in every person who's put their trust in Jesus. And I don't think we talk about that enough. I think we've made him small. And if we will start to lean into and welcome his work, I think we will be absolutely blown away at what will happen in the church, what will happen in our homes, what will happen in our communities, if we will allow the Holy Spirit to be unleashed, the power of the Holy Spirit that moved in Jesus and moved in the disciples. If we'll let him do that now in our homes and our churches, I think it will be radical, absolutely transformative.
Somebody's got to text me an amen. Jeannie, I hope you'll come back. Fantastic conversation. And friend, I pray that you feel empowered, equipped, and excited to be a believer. This is an incredible time to follow Jesus, and we will meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Susie Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.